This is Akashvani. In the program Insight, now we bring you a discussion on prospects in T20 World Cup 2024. The participants are G. Rajaraman, Senior Sports Analyst, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani Correspondent.
The T20 cricket format was introduced back in 2003 by the England and Wales Cricket Board. The basic rules for T20 are the same as for the longer versions, but innings are limited to 20 overs a side. T20 cricket quickly gained popularity, especially in the Indian subcontinent. Going back to the history a bit, a shortened form of cricket known as cricket max was developed in the New Zealand in the 1990s by the former test batsman Martin Crowe. But the official rules for the T20 were established by the England and Wales Cricket Board. In the first T20 World Cup played in South Africa in 2007, India won, creating a huge market for the T20 in the subcontinent. It was quickly exploited by the IPL or the Indian Premier League. Currently, the 9th edition of the T20 World Cup is underway in the United States of America. 20 teams are participating and the United States of America has debuted in the Cricket World Cup. To know more on the T20 cricket, we are joined by senior sports journalist Mr. G. Rajaraman. Welcome to Akashvani News, Mr. Rajaraman.
Thank you so much.
You have been observing cricket for almost 3 decades now. In your opinion, how has cricket as a sport evolved over the years?
We have a choice. We can look at cricket as a very simple sport between bat and ball, as a contest between bat and ball, and with the target of one team having to score one run more than the other. All formats of the game boil down to this simple formula of cricket being a contest between bat and ball. Now, we have needed innovations from old days where we had only test cricket. We moved to having the one-day internationals from the early 70s. And then in 2007, we introduced the ICC World 2020. India had gone to play the first World 2020 with just one match experience behind that. So we can ask, why is there a need to innovate? Why do we need such a shorter format of the game? Primarily, it was done because audiences in England were dwindling. People were gravitating towards football, which lasts just 90 minutes or about 2 hours, including the breaks. And cricket would take a whole day. And people were losing patience with the fact that attention span was reducing and people were getting impatient. There was a need to find a product that would bring the crowd back into the county grounds in England. And that is where T20 came up. Martin Crowe thought about it and England refined it, and that is where T20 came into being. So the formats are evolving according to needs of society. I think the market decides which format works best for them. But from a very purely cricketing perspective, there is nothing like test cricket because the pendulum swings a lot. What is true in the first session may not be true in the second, may not be true in the third, may not be true over several days. So it calls for resilience, it calls for determination beyond what we see in T20 cricket. But we have to accept the fact that T20 is here to stay. I cannot say I'm a 50s and a 60s person, I'm 63-year-old and therefore I will not watch T20 cricket. No, it doesn't work like that. It is a format of the game and I think we have to accept it as it is.
Sir Rajaraman, T20 has also become a launch pad for various newcomers who make their debut through the format. In your opinion, is it a shorter route to the longer success or to the longer format of the cricket?
If you are a very good test cricketer, if you can play days cricket, as first class cricket is called, red ball cricket is called, then you can adapt to T20 or to even the 50 over format. But if you are a specialist T20 cricketer, then you may not succeed as a test cricketer because it has very different skill sets, it has very different approach to the game. And if you don't have that, then you don't succeed. The problem is that a lot of youngsters are seeing so much money in T20 cricket now that they're not investing enough time and energy in becoming better first-class cricketers and therefore better test cricketers. We're not seeing the impact of T20 cricket at the moment on the test format apart from fielding, but sooner than later, India will find, not only India, all other teams will find that more and more players will gravitate towards T20 format because there is money in it. There are leagues around the world and they can make that extra money in their short shelf life rather than play test cricket and for their country. So cricket is presented with a unique problem. It loves the new format, but it respects the old one, which is test cricket. And it has to find the cricketers who can play all formats or who can keep interest of the people alive in all formats. At the moment, it is T20 which has caught the attention of people. It is the flavor of the season, but it's very important that cricket administrators realize that it is necessary for all three formats to flourish, for the sport to survive against a whole lot of competition. Now, world sport is competing with cricket. Cricket is no longer aiming to be played only in the 10 or 12 Commonwealth countries. It is now expanded to more than 100 countries. And therefore, it's important that cricket retains its appeal to the traditional audience while seeking to conquer new frontiers.
To just add on to what you said, that more than 100 countries are playing cricket, even after gaining so much popularity worldwide, we are not having many more countries participating in the sporting events of cricket.
It does take time. Cricket has been primarily a Commonwealth-driven sport. Wherever the British went and ruled, wherever they set up colonies is where cricket has flourished. And typically it is Australia, New Zealand, India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh. Then you have countries in the West Indies, the Caribbean nations, where England or Britain set up a colony. And therefore you are getting to see all those players. And then of course there is a bit of an influence of the British in South Africa and in Kenya and in Zimbabwe, some of those countries. So you get to see Test cricket being played by only a handful of nations because of the hoary traditions. It is now making inroads into smaller countries. Papua New Guinea is playing the T20 World Cup as we are talking. Nepal is making rapid strides. There are other countries. Bermuda has played the 50-over World Cup. So you will find interest in cricket over a period of time when more and more heroes emerge from each of those national sides. When that happens, cricket will get more popularity. Until that time, you might get to see one-sided contests. We have seen some of them in the current World Cup as well, where teams like Australia are lording over the minnows, so to say. But they need the exposure, they need to come to the World Cup, and they need to be able to go back home and claim that they have played the World Championship, and therefore evoke more interest around their country. I think it's important that more and more nations play. And the ICC had, I think, 20 teams playing in this current edition of the World T20 Championship.
Mr. Rajaraman, I just want your opinion on this. Will it be appropriate to say that T20 cricket is destroying the skills by limiting the players to a shorter form of game?
I have to disagree with that line of thinking, primarily because T20 has its own demands of skill set. It needs a different set of skill set from the batters. Apart from the conservative, the usual traditional approach that batters have got, or even with the bowlers, I think it makes the cricketers think a lot more. In the short term, you have to summon the best of your energy, the best of your skills to the table, and then be able to take your team to victory. I think there is a greater challenge in T20 cricket, but this sport, this format, has allowed cricketers to find new skill sets. Who would have imagined a reverse hit being played in a test match or a switch hit being played in a test match? Who would have imagined scoops being played in test matches? So test cricket, look at the kind of fielding that we're getting to see in test matches now. So T20 has contributed in a positive manner. Like everything else in life, there are two sides to the coin. If we can focus more on the positives that T20 has brought along to the game, the money, the fame around the world, and the interest that it has created in more nations than test cricket does, then I think we will be good. There's a lot of beautiful things that in T20 cricket that have made other formats look better now.
Mr. Rajaraman, not being a critique or being negative about it, my other question to you is T20 format more inclined towards batsmen and are bowlers losing their charm, or is it equal for both of them?
Like any other format, the pitch determines whether the contest is going to be balanced, will shift towards the batters or towards the bowlers. This format makes cricketers think a lot more. On tracks that we saw in IPL in India, we got to see scores in the excess of 240 runs, sometimes 280 as well, because it was flat decks and the grounds were small. But look at what is happening in the current World Cup. We haven't had a 200 plus huge tally being chased down by the opposition because the pitches are of some assistance to the bowler. The demand on skill sets vary with the pitches. Sometimes when flat decks are rolled out and bowlers are taken to the cleaners, you feel sorry for them, like we did during the IPL in India most recently. But see how beautifully they have come back. Mohammad Siraj of India went for plenty of runs in the IPL in the early stages. But look at how brilliantly he's bowling. We all knew that Hardik Pandya was in pretty poor form in IPL. But look at how beautifully he has bowled and becoming and has risen to being one of the leading wicket takers for India at the moment, ahead of Jasprit Bumrah. So this sport allows cricketers to think and to find solutions, and the nature of the deck, the nature of the pitch actually determines whether a particular match is loaded in favor of the batsman or against them.
As you're speaking of the pitch, my very next question to you is on the pitches. Please explain to our listeners about the drop in pitches. What is it, and if you could delve into its history a bit?
Typically, a pitch is a square plot of land. Within that circle, the cricketing ground, the square is what is called the pitch. In that, you have got this 22 yards. Different kinds of tracks are laid out in that. The soil mixture, the amount of grass that is on the pitch, and the amount of curating that has happened. Basically, you have to nurture the pitch. You have to nurse it like a baby sometimes. How well it has been done will determine how the pitch plays on a particular day. Now, typically, this is native soil. It is grounds in India, for example, have got native soil. It is part of the ground. It is not as if it has been dropped in. Now, what is a drop-in pitch? A drop-in pitch, for example, as we are seeing in the World Cup now, is what is soil imported from Australia, from Adelaide. The mixture of the soil has been determined by grounds in Adelaide, and the soil is from there. They have got it to Florida, compacted it, and then gone and dropped it in. They dug out a little square and dropped the pitches there. After that, you needed to tend to those pitches, you needed to water it, you needed to allow it to settle down and become part of the larger outfield. It cannot be standing out. It cannot be not attended to. So if you do a lot of rolling, curators will decide how much watering to be done, then it becomes part of the whole process of being seen as part of the ground. But right now, they have been around for not more than 100 days, and that is why the curators have not been able to prepare them as well as some other pitches. Drop-in pitches per se are not bad at all, but when you get in drop-in pitches, you need to have got them in early, you need to have allowed them to settle down and become part of the ground. It is like people. It is how a city absorbs a migrant.
Lastly, Mr. Rajaraman, we cannot conclude our discussion on cricket or T20 cricket without talking about women's cricket. How T20 cricket has helped in promoting the women's cricket?
The Women's Premier League, Indian Premier League, that's been held for a couple of seasons now, has actually helped the Indian women cricketer not only to make some money, but also to popularize the sport, because it is part of televised. When it is broadcast, any sport has greater chance of getting popular. I think that is what has happened. Number of talented cricketers from around the world who have come to India to play the Women's Indian Premier League and do a good job of that. There is a fan base that is building up. More and more young girls are keen on taking up cricket. And I think it is really wonderful initiative that has helped women cricket take deeper root. I have known women's cricket to be conducted in the country from the 70s. We've had legends like Diana Adelji and Shantaranga Swamy play test cricket and do a good job. Sandhya Agarwal, for example, as a fabulous opener. There have been any number of wonderful cricketers, women cricketers, but they were hardly on television. This generation of women cricketers, I won't say they are fortunate, but they have come at an era where people are demanding more and more sport on television. And therefore, they have become superstars. They might not be as gifted as some of their predecessors are, but they surely have the talent to be able to draw fans to the grounds and draw fans to watch them on television. I think it's a great step. Women's cricket needs more of this, but it also needs first-class cricket to be revived. They have not played enough test cricket in a long time. They need to be shown that test cricket is the ultimate form of the game, and I'm hoping that we will get to see a lot more test matches in the coming years than we have in the last few years.
As we bring this discussion to an end, Mr. Rajaraman, thank you so much for sparing your valuable time and sharing a lot more insight about the T20 cricket and overall sport. Thank you so much, Mr. Rajaraman, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on prospects in T20 World Cup 2024. The participants were G. Rajaraman, Senior Sports Analyst, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani Correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.